And I did make a YouTube video of this, so if you do watch my channel, sorry. I'm sorry for you. So, I'd heard a couple years back about a fella that travels the country, and he's like a photographer for nature and stuff. And he found in a moth the letter A, no, the letter F. So an English letter F in a moth. And it dawned on him, what if I can find whole English alphabet in nature? So in his travels of 25 years, 30 countries, he found the entire English alphabet in butterflies and moths, and even the numbers 1 to 9 plus 0, was 0 would be the letter 0. And so he put it in a book. I gave Debbie a paperback of this thing, a book. So this one, as you can see, can you see the letter A? I don't know if you can see that, the letter A. Okay, so that's in. And what he did is each page, he showed the letter, then he named the butterfly, and then he named the location. Okay, and then this was put in a, like this. So I have every letter in the English language created in Genesis 1 when there was no English. Now, did that accidentally happen? Mother Nature was pretty smart to bring English into the world 7,000 years before it showed up, or I'm sorry, 5,000 years. And here we have it in here. So in this book, he shows each butterfly, where he found it, and what took him 30 years, we got it in about 5 minutes. So he had, of course, I'm sure the guy got paid for it. But to me, this bears witness to the Bible we have in our hands. God saw and already knew in Genesis 1 that he thought he'd put it in plain sight in butterflies and moths, the English language. What was the language they probably spoke in the Garden of Eden? Probably Hebrew. More than any time, Hebrew in the Old Testament. English didn't come along until it came at its peak was our early 1600s. That's when it was at its peak. Okay, and so the Lord saw this. He knew Old Testament's Hebrew. He knew New Testament's Greek. A very, very small portion of the Old Testament's in Aramaic. Okay, and he said, I'm going to put it in English someday. I'm going to make a whole Bible in English. And he put it, truth is hidden in plain sight. In Isaiah 27, Isaiah wrote this. He said this in 28, I'm sorry. Let me see. Yeah, 28. Isaiah 28. So it says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here little, there little. So there's the best technique of learning the Bible. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. Okay, when a person does that, then you have a balance of the passages. If the Lord repeats it twice, then you hit it twice. If the Lord repeats it three times, you hit it three times. And then 11 is a prophecy. This is 700 B.C., so 700 plus the 16, so over 2,000 years before the English language came into play. He says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. In that context, this people would be the Jews. But it says, a stammering lips and another tongue. And you know, when you and I hear somebody speak a foreign tongue, it sounds like blah, 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 blah. Sounds stammering, okay? So the idea is God is going to put his word in another tongue. Okay, this verse is found in 1 Corinthians 14, repeated. 1 Corinthians 14, 21. Man, so we're Pentecost. Ash was singing in tongues. We sang about Pentecostal. So this is the chapter on tongues, 1 Corinthians 14. No church that speaks in tongues obeys it. None of them do. Okay, but the idea of this chapter is written around Acts 20, so the idea of tongues being ceased, as predicted in 13:7 or 13:8, it ceased in Acts 28, at the end of Acts 28. Okay, but verse 21, in the law it is written, so he's including Isaiah with the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak to this people. For yet for all that they will not hear me, sadly, they will not hear, saith the Lord. Okay, so the English, when you travel around the world, airline pilots must know English. And go to airports, you have English. Okay, because English is the universal language of the last days. And it was that God put it in his words. Okay, if you would go to Acts 28. Now, some folks will try to discard this idea stating that a translation cannot be inspired, meaning the English translation. And we'll even be fair enough to use their definition of inspiration, which is the incorrect definition, but we'll still use that definition. Okay, and they will glorify what is known as the verbally inspired autographs, okay, meaning the first time they wrote it down and nothing after that's perfect. But there's one to step up, the verbally spoken words of God. So the Ten Commandments, God spoke it first, wrote it second, rewrote it, and then re-rewrote it. Okay, which one's inspired? Okay, all of them. But the scholars say only the first. Okay, and then they say a translation cannot be inspired. In Acts 26, this is Paul's testimony. Got his order for pizza. He's got to go get pizza. You getting pizza for the potluck tonight? So in Acts 26, verse 14, what language did God speak to Saul when he witnessed to him in Acts 9? This is his second time he has given his testimony. What language did God speak to him? So this would be the verbal original, verbally spoke from God. And it says in Hebrew. So what are we told that Acts was written in originally? What are we told? Greek. Hebrew to Greek translation. Ask them which one's inspired. And then say, see, a translation can be inspired. And now we have it in English. So, huh?
Jesus read from the temple.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, they would say no. They would say no. But the hypocrisy of it, have anybody remember hearing Septuagint? Remember hearing that through the years, Septuagint? Okay, or abbreviated LXX. It's supposedly an Old Testament translated into Greek, supposedly done in 200 BC, supposedly Christ quoted from it. Now, these men will ooh and ah and foam at the mouth over the LXX because it's got Catholic roots, but they will not exalt the English King James Bible. And that's the hypocrisy. And the hypocrisy that they do. So, I don't know. I just thought this was pretty neat if you'd like to look at this. This A is actually a different font that they have in the book. So the Lord has different fonts also. So he's got it covered. Genesis 1, God saw down the road, oh, I'm gonna do English someday. I don't know. I was just fascinated with that. And now I want to read just Bible verses, in a chronology of from the front of the Bible to the back of the Bible. And Pastor Saul put all these verses together, and they usually read them this time of year, the last Sunday of the year. And so it's just going through Scripture. I'm not going to give the reference. I'm just going to read the Scripture as we come through and just kind of enjoy the reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God, the Lord God, took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And when a woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, for as by one man's disobedient, many were made sinners. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. And above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off their faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the whole earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment upon truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will Hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord's host will perform this. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled what was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius, the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in a field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people under the place of the high priest, which was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was of the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto this, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? And when they had bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and our children. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is in the Hebrew the Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are before me. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of the death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They purse my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, and they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be it not far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thou to help me. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he was hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it is very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth is confession made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich upon all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written, there's no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, nor the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, these are the words. These words are true and faithful. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw a temple there, no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city was no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. And they which are written, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And I will show thee a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The stone which the builders refused has become the head of stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So that Brother Pastor Sol just took all those paths. That's all scripture, one after another, front of the Bible, back of the Bible. We can rejoice in that. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd, be pleased with our growth in this past year, and I hope that we will grow more in the year 2024, meaning our spiritual growth. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to rejoice in you, in your word, and help us to admire, to adore, to worship, to see your vast wisdom, how you, back in Genesis 1, laid out the English language in alphabet form. And here now we have a perfect Bible. We're so grateful for that. We're so thankful for that. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to enjoy the remaining hours of this year. And Lord, I hope next 2024, that sounds like a good number for a return. Lord, I just pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.